SIW Radio from SecurityInfoWatch.com. This is our regular podcast program, and this is episode 29, focused on integrator partnerships and a look at the economy for commercial security systems. This program actually started after the May issue of Security Dealer and Integrator magazine, and Deb O'Mara, the editor there, approached me about pulling together some of their integrators to talk about how they partner with vendors, with other service providers, and with even with competitors. And so we brought in Wayne Becker, Vice President of Business Development for Communication Systems, Inc., out of Allentown, PA, and Jeff Brummett, President and COO of American Sentry Guard out of Greenwood, Indiana, and Alan Kruglak, Senior Vice President for Genesis Security Systems out of Germantown, Maryland. And we had everyone talk about what they're doing in terms of partnerships. At the end of this program, however, we also get into a very good discussion, and I think you should stay tuned. We get into these three gentlemen's take on the economy and what it means for the systems integration business in 2008. As we all know, the economy's been kind of rough, especially in the residential sector, but there's also been some shakeout in the commercial sector as well. Alan, Jeff, Wayne, they all talk about what are the markets that are working, how good integrators are going to be able to get through this. So certainly stay tuned to the end for that that session on getting through a tough economy. Without further ado, here's our podcast recording from a little bit earlier this year. And if you want more information, check out the May 2008 issue of Security Dealer and Integrator. If you don't have a copy, go to securityinfowatch.com and click on the Security Dealer and Integrator magazine logo or cover, and you'll be able to get to the archives there.
Let me just introduce everyone. This is Jeff Cole. I'm the editor of SecurityInfoWatch.com, and we're of course the official site for Security Dealer and Integrator magazine, and that you guys have so kindly agreed to be interviewed by, and and we do a joint podcast program where we take the roundtables that are in the magazine and we try to expand them, kind of do them real time, real life here on the phone, and record that and then later post that up as a podcast. So with us today, Greg McConnell is the associate editor there at Security Dealer and Integrator.
Hello.
And then you guys know, it sounds like Deb O'Mara, the editor there. And then, so we've got, in case y'all didn't catch it, let's see, first who was on, Alan Kruglak, Senior Vice President for Genesis Security Systems in Germantown, Maryland. Alan, can you describe for everyone, for Jeff and Wayne, just really quickly what your company does?
Yeah, we're a systems integrator. I used to own a large integration company called GIC. I sold to Sensomatic in 95. And Genesis is a kind of a startup, 5 years, and we're an integrator for focuses on the corporate 1,000 firms. And we do work, 80% of our work is in the Maryland, Virginia market, but we do a lot of work throughout the United States. I'm also president of National Security Integrators. It's a network of software house integrators where we do national deployments in every place, including New Orleans, I might add.
No.
And then Mississippi.
And then we've got, moving up the list here, Wayne Becker, Vice President of Business Development for Communication Systems, Inc., out of Allentown, Pennsylvania. Wayne, can you describe pretty quickly what the focus of your business is?
Sure. We're a systems integrator here in Allentown, PA. We have three divisions, actually, life safety and security, IT and communications, and audio and video. So we serve healthcare, education, business, and government sectors within a 3 to 4 hour radius of Allentown, Lehigh Valley area.
Okay. And then Jeff Brummett, President and Chief Operating Officer of American Sentry Guard out of Greenwood, Indiana. what just joined us on the call. And Jeff, do you want to explain your business really quickly?
Sure. American Sentry Guard, we have we're a systems integrator located just on the south side of Indianapolis in Greenwood, Indiana. And service our local market, pretty much all of Indianapolis, Kentucky, Cincinnati, eastern Ohio. I guess it's been about 3.5 years ago, we began developing some of our product, some of our own products in the video sector. Probably a lot of people will recognize our Mobileye product as mobile DVR, video DVR, with integrated GPS and audio, and built on our PowerVision platform that interfaces with even with our central monitoring software. So anyway, kind of unique in that we began developing product but started actually as an integrator, which we feel like really has helped us understand that side of the business and served us well in product development as well.
And so our topic for today, like it was in the magazine, is partnering. And Deb and I talked a little bit about some of the topics we wanted to hit upon. I guess one of the places we could start would be to talk about, in the roundtable, you all mentioned that you partnered with a variety of companies. So who specifically are you working with, and why does it make sense for doing that kind of partnership? Alan, I guess let's start with you. Who are you partnering with these days?
Well, we don't, it's really... we have a lot of debates on this, on the partnering process in terms of sharing information and providing complete solutions. But we partner, one of the things that we compete with are the large national companies like the Siemens and the ADTs. And my experience has been that most corporations, most end users are not real happy with the large entities providing national distribution because of their inability to be consistent across the board, and it takes a long time to get things done. So what we do is to compete against those companies, to capture if I can't take care of my local customers in places like California and Chicago and those locations, I can't get the local business. So we actually created a national network called National Security Integrators, and it's basically a partnering network of integrators like us where we provide turnkey solutions for our clients. So if a client calls me here and he says, I have XYZ large company, but I would like to change it, but you got to take care of me in 25 other cities, I can really be a one-stop shop for that customer. And from a customer's perspective, we'll get better quality service, better quality response, and typically lower price, but not necessarily. Price is not necessarily the issue across the board. So we partner with a bunch of vetted integrators around the country that are, I call, strategic partners.
Wayne, in your business, you're also doing systems integration there in Allentown. How does partnerships work for Communication Systems, Inc.?
Well, we have been finding it necessary to partner with a lot of the niche manufacturers that are looking for local integrators, quality local integrators. It seems that, somebody develops a product they deploy it in a city and they get a bunch of news press nationally, and all of a sudden they start getting hits of other municipalities or people wanting this product, but they don't have enough staff to provide installation support. And so what I've been going out is trying to find those people and letting them know that there's a quality integration team here, and we can help them facilitate the deployment and support of their systems. So that brings us a lot of new revenue streams because they really welcome dealing with companies like us.
So you're almost would that be somewhat like a subcontractor then?
Not really. A lot of these companies are following the IT model in which they're looking for partners. In that, they set up the need, if you will, with the end user. They partner with you to go through all of the. By the time they contact you, and a lot of times the end users are already, in the purchasing mode. It's like, yeah, we want this. Okay, great. Now, how do we get it installed, and who's going to support it? And that's where we step into the picture of saying, you know, we're right here local. We understand the technology. If there's specialized training, we have guys who already have certifications with a lot of the IT or security companies and then certification entities. And then we just learn about the specifics of their products. And then we would then, of course, provide the installation and support of those products.
Jeff, I mean, your company, American Sentry Guard, has an interesting background. That you formerly worked specifically as an integrator, now as a product developer, manufacturer. How has partnering changed for you? And who did you partner with when you were an integrator, and who do you partner with? How do you define a partner now that you're in the product development field?
Well, they're two different animals, obviously. Partnering is much different from a manufacturing standpoint or from a product development standpoint as it would be from an integration standpoint. We really try to separate the two sides of the business. Our integration business is a standalone business, and it has, as I mentioned earlier, really we feel served us well in terms of having a backyard to kind of develop and beta test some of the products that we have put out on the market. So they're two different entities, and with their own strategies and staff and the like. I will say that from an integration standpoint, because this is what I originally was told the roundtable was designed to address, I will say that I agree with the gentleman earlier. One of the opportunities that I think integrators have, the mid-market integrators, middle market integrators have, is their ability to perform at a much higher level from a quality standpoint, a customer service standpoint, than some of the larger, even regional, they don't necessarily have to even be national, but some of the larger organizations. That consistency of relationship and performance is what I think a lot of customers are frustrated. We see that also in our market on a daily basis. So I think from a partnering standpoint, what we've done on the integration side is we feel like we've got a great story. And when you look at the successes that we've had and the clients and the testimonials that we can offer, our biggest hurdle is getting that out in the marketplace so that we have an opportunity to compete, because we may not be and not have the visibility as a middle market integrator that an ADD or a Siemens has. So we're not always the people that get called. But if we can get involved in those opportunities early enough, we can generally be very competitive and win that business. So what we've done is we've tried to partner with organizations that can help us shorten the learning curve to get to those decision makers in advance and have those opportunities. And one of the partners that we have is we partnered with the state's largest law firm here, who's very powerful and influential in the business community and political arenas, and we have contracted them in a business development relationship to put us in front of high-level decision makers, CEOs and directors of local government and municipalities, etc., so that we can tell our story. And that has been a very successful partnership for us. And we do the same thing with some lobbying associations that also have relationships along those lines. And those have been kind of out-of-the-box solutions for us, but they've been very, very powerful over the last couple of years in growing that integration side of the business and giving us exposure to the types of clients that typically it's difficult for middle market guys to find out about early enough.
What about in terms of partnering with technology companies, guys? Partnering with companies that are doing technology systems, maybe working... not a traditional security integrator, but maybe they're doing purely IT service and things like that. Are you guys working with those kind of companies?
How do you want us to answer this?
Whoever wants to jump in.
We are not doing that. This is Alan. We're not doing that. And we aren't doing that because we have not seen the need where the market, where there's, A, the market said, I want a turnkey solution. We have not seen the added economies of scale. And the other thing is, and every integrator has this fear, is I'm going to educate my competition on how to steal my business. And I think the IT companies are eyeing our markets because the IT world, the margins are awful. And, I mean, these guys live on 5 to 10 points, and probably Wayne knows this better than most guys. And they look at our margins and think, like, oh, we're even high on the hog.
Yeah. Exactly. If I could just jump in, Alan, we have a little bit of a unique situation in that most of the IT opportunities we go after are the end points. Our IT, for instance, we're doing a wireless network for the city of Allentown right now, a wireless security surveillance network. We're going to deploy 100-plus cameras throughout the city. And one of the reasons why we got that job is because we were pretty much the only company around that could basically do the wireless network infrastructure, the audiovisual head end of the war room, and basically understand the security aspects as a traditional security contractor. The IT companies that were purely IT that looked at it had no clue how to do any of the audiovisual or the security aspects of it. They had to lean on the manufacturers, and the manufacturers didn't really want to hold their hand to that degree. And we're running into that in a lot of the situations where we go into a company and we are able to identify what type of infrastructure they have and then able to help them leverage that infrastructure to use it for security or other means. So that's our value add, and that's something that the integrators, the traditional IT integrators, really have a hard time grasping.
What percentage of your business is IT?
What percentage?
Yeah, you said you do IT stuff, you do security, life safety, you do...
IT touches all parts of our business.
No, but you also,
whether we're doing security... audiovisual stuff or communications. I mean, it's involved in all that. So I'd say 30 to 40%.
Okay. Well, I mean, because remember, I mean, our business, even though everything, you know, it touches IT in our world, I mean, we don't really, our mission outside is not to go out and install networks. I mean, we do it for our systems, and we have the technical expertise in-house to accomplish it. And we do have had requirements where that has come across where there's been something like somebody wants us to provide these things. We'll bring a strategic partner in that we've done relationships with. But, you know, as a rule, we have not, you know, our company has not chased those public entity, you know, the public works solutions that have that, because my experience has been that the margins are so low and the risk is relatively high. It's just not worth the effort.
Yeah.
Guys, if I could throw in a comment here, I got a kind of unique perspective on this, because we have dealers who are IT-based companies that come to us and that we've dealt with, and our experience, frankly, has been when we deal with a security integrator who has experience as a security integrator, the results are much better, the level of service is much better, the clients are much happier than when they're dealing with an IT company who's tried to get into the security industry for some of the same types of issues that both of you have raised. So from a security integration standpoint, I think the everybody talks about the convergence of the IT world and physical security, but there's probably some truth to that, but really what needs to happen in my mind for security integrators is you just have to have savvy IT people on board to complement the traditional security personnel, and it really doesn't work, at least in our experience, and I'm talking about from not just as an integrator but from a manufacturer who has dealers to sell his product. It hasn't worked the other way around, and I don't see a need for integrators to go out and create lots of partnerships with IT companies, because I don't see that they add a whole lot of value in the long run.
I'll agree with you 100% on that, because I have guys that are very IT literate on staff, and it's rare that I have to call somebody, because a lot of times if you have to integrate with a customer's network, you know, they have their own rules and regulations set up on how they want it, and they're going to have their own IT guys and set up all the rules and regs.
Yep.
And as long as we know how to communicate effectively, it's really it's worked out very well to date. Although there could be, you know, the consultants, this whole IT convergence stuff is the full employment act for all the consultants out there that are talking about convergence. And, you know, they're trying to package everything together without really understanding the full ramifications of it. So, I mean, some of the consultants are good, but the reality is there's a lot of, I guess, false floors that you're going to walk through that could really hurt you.
Yeah, so it seems like, this is Deborah, it seems like that the integrator, if they do it right, they really have a lot going for them as far as the value that they bring to the job. And so what are you thinking about as far as moving forward, how the integrator can continue to position themselves kind of head and shoulders above the IT people, because it seems like they are already. What kind of things, I mean, you mentioned about having an IT person on staff and...
Well, we... You know, speaking for CSI here, we have an IT division and a wireless group within that. But, you know, those guys have to understand the network. And it's true, when you go into any type of a situation, whether it's government, education, or healthcare, they typically have their own IT staff and their own rules and regulations. But the comfortability factor is increased tenfold. So if you're talking to them about deploying something on their network, you know, there's just some part-time dude who can, you know, knows what a packet is, as opposed to somebody who really understands the type of switches that they're using, and how they're managing their network and so on and so forth. It makes them a lot more open to discussing consultative ways of leveraging their investment for security. And, you know, since we've taken on that role, you know, we've increased in 2006 25%, in 2007 about 20%, and we're still on the upward moving here. So as soon as we embrace that model, people recognize that and really trust us, manufacturers as well as end users, to being, you know, the integrator of choice for those types of applications.
I think I agree with you. I mean, I think the only way to answer Deborah's question is that you have to have people on staff that have the necessary certifications. And you're going to see over the next, you know, starting now and going over the next couple of years on these new projects that are being driven by, especially by consultants or by public entities, they're going to say, I want you CCNA and I want you MSCE and all the other certifications you're going to have. So you're going to have people on staff to accomplish that. And if you start rely upon subcontractors to do all this work, you're not going to win because, first of all, it's going to add more cost to your bid and your pricing structure. And when you have subcontractors, it's very difficult to control quality. It just is.
It is, Alan. And again, let me just interject this. The important disconnect, I think, that people don't get with hiring or outsourcing an IT company to work with you is they really need to understand your business model. And working with them on a partnership basis doesn't allow them to do that. You really need to have that knowledge and experience in-house so they understand how it can be applied with your business model.
I agree.
Right, you have to have someone product-centric, which is brings me to another question is to Jeff, and everybody's been talking about the wireless, and I think that's really poised to take off. Jeff, are you getting involved in that at all in your area? Or?
Yes. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we're working on a project right now with a railroad company, and there are just so many applications. Even the local municipalities, we're working in a consultant capacity right now with the City of Indianapolis and Marion County, Emergency Management Services and Public Safety. I've seen, and I kind of was one of those guys who like to sit on the sideline and say it's got to get a whole lot better before I get involved with it. But the improvements that have been made in wireless technology over the last 3 or 4 years, particularly, have now made it, I think, a viable alternative, and certainly in a lot of applications, the only alternative that you know reasonably is cost effective now.
Initially, did you partner with any companies that were doing wireless systems before you had that expertise?
Our biggest partner in the wireless is a company called FireTide. I'm sure you guys probably recognize that they've gotten a lot of pretty strong press here of late. They've done a great job. There were a couple of companies that we used early on, and our people you know, have spent a lot of time looking at various mesh networks and wireless technologies over the last couple of years. So yeah, there have been a few that we've kind of dabbled with smaller projects.
So it seems like we could almost, in terms of if for smaller companies that are learning about partnering, we could sort of group some partners into, some core categories. One would be like what Alan's doing, would be regional partners, where you're pushing the limits of where your service areas are, and maybe you have a national customer, and you don't have that office in San Diego, and you can partner with a company there. It seems that you could have another partner category would be technology service partners, and it seems to be that the main attitude from you guys is that those could potentially become competitors at some point, especially if they're in the IT world. Are there any other types of partnerships that that companies that are looking to grow their business could consider?
Well, there are some manufacturers that are trying to partner, but I don't think those are going to work very well. I mean, I just don't think it, because most of the manufacturers that are doing that are large companies, and I don't think they have any loyalty.
Right.
To anybody. Once they establish the client base, they'll sell you short for a purchase order.
Yep,
not
sure.
All manufacturers, I might add. I'm sure, is it Jeff?
Yes.
I'm sure that you don't do that, but most manufacturers, the large guys, have no soul. Well, I guess it's going to be a public, so I guess I should say that, huh?
Well, yeah, once you get into it, it's different.
Go ahead.
You get into a public corporation, you have stockholders, and it's a whole different ballgame, and you're right, the corporate entity, it's easy to lose its soul if it ever had one.
Well, look at Cisco. I think Cisco is creating that partnership relationship, but I think it changes every time they get a new manager.
Yep.
And every time they have to increase their revenue, it decides, well, we got to change our model. So, I mean,
yep.
And is that,
I mean, unless a manufacturer is willing to come alongside and create a unique relationship that offers some types of protection to the integrator, and is you're in that type of relationship, you're not talking about a nothing for nothing type of deal, which is what a lot of them want, or nothing for something. I'm not going to give you anything, but I want you to commit to certain volumes for me.
Yeah.
And what you get is a price point, and that's it. Unless the manufacturer is willing to really come alongside the dealer and help develop their business and make an investment in them, if it's nothing more than giving them some type of exclusivity for representation of the product, which a lot of manufacturers don't want to give.
Well, big companies aren't going to do that.
Yeah, and exactly right. The big companies are never going to do that. So partnering in that context, probably, I agree, it's not just never going
to
work.
I'd like to add a comment that, this is Wayne, that manufacturers really need to understand that loyalty to your integrator goes a long way towards customer satisfaction. And it's almost a necessary thing. Because we're talking about trust, and trust, you know, transcends through that relationship to the end user, and it's not just the dollars and cents. Eventually, you know, it will equal dollars and cents. But we're seeing some manufacturers in this industry, in the comments that were made, that you know don't have that trust and don't have that loyalty to their vendors. And therefore, their customers ultimately, in the end, will lose out because that loyalty will be disjointed or will be broken.
I just like one comment. We have our one major supplier. Our biggest supplier is Sensormatic, and they do have a soul. So I just let you know. But all the other
and you're
ones,
probably profitable with them too.
Are you kidding me? We make a lot of money for them, and they make a lot of money for us.
There you go.
They actually function like a small business. With the group we deal with, which makes it unbelievable. Their management is incredibly accessible. On the other hand, I've heard of guys dealing with the very large entities, like the GEs, an organization like that. It's like pulling teeth. And so no one.
There are manufacturers that we work with, Alan, that actually give us better discounts depending on our customer satisfaction scores.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the better service you provide, the more money you can make.
Absolutely.
That's a good way to reinforce it.
That seems like a good synergy.
Yep.
We don't
good model to follow.
We get good discounts based on buying, you know, big companies, which most of the manufacturers are. They have to sell at the end of the month to meet their quotas. So we package deals for end-of-month deals, and we have volume. And that's how we achieve that. And then we achieve the volume by loyalty. So the more volume you do, the more loyal you have, and the more discount structure you're available that you can get. So I think that works pretty well.
And is loyalty, how important is loyalty? I mean, we talked about loyalty from the manufacturers to their integrator partners, but going up that chain, shouldn't there be an address of loyalty as well? And the reason I was thinking about this, I was at a trade show a week ago and was talking to a very large UK integrator who said, I'm just here to find the same product that I've been selling but from a different vendor for cheaper. And, how does that affect? I mean, do you guys do that, or is that something you try to stay away from because you know it might weaken a partnership?
I don't think, we buy a lot of our products from Sensormatic. I mean, they're our biggest supplier, and I couldn't buy from somebody else. But if it's a commodity product like cable or things like that, you're most likely driven by the market to go at the lowest cost if it's a commodity product. Not necessarily the absolute lowest cost. Obviously, we take in consideration availability and support. Like certain, we've delved in certain other vendors where if you have a service problem, certain IP vendors, that when you call them up, you're on hold for days. And so as a result, it doesn't matter what you sell it for. I'm never going to sell their product again on there. So you need to look at availability. You need to look at support. There's a number of factors and reliability. There's a whole host of factors you have to look at.
We disclose all of the support or lack thereof to our end users. CSI doesn't like to do business with companies that have equal or better support than we offer. And we're very honest and upfront to our customers about it. So if they're looking for us to use a product or recommend a product, or somebody mentions, I got a price on this, and it's, we'd say, we've had experience with that manufacturer or that vendor, and our experience is that they don't supply support in this area or so on and so forth. And instead of taking all the pressure on us, typically, us as integrators, we're middlemen a lot of times.
If you look back at your business 5 years ago, and Alan, I realize that 5 years ago you were probably just starting out, so maybe 4 years ago for you. How have your partnerships changed, and how you look at partnering?
Our partnerships really haven't changed. I mean, I created this national network. We've been able to expand it and vet it more. I basically don't give guys a second chance. So if I do one of my customers has a site in San Diego or Colorado, and the guy doesn't meet my expectations in terms of response, I pretty much put a bullet in his head and find somebody else. But over time, over the 5 years, I've been able to expand that network into, I would say, probably the best national distribution network of integrators throughout the country. So, it's different than a PSA model. PSA is a pretty good model, but it's a co-op where I pick guys that perform, and whether it's Chicago or Boston, Indianapolis tends to be a weak area, I think, from our perspective. But wherever it is, we look for guys that can perform, and over time we've been able to fine-tune that operation more and more.
Jeff, how about you? In terms of American Sentry Guard's integration services, has the partner type changed over the last few years?
Not really. We pretty much have stuck with what we started with, and our integration business started back in 1999. So it's now 8 or 9 years old. But not really. I mean, the relationships are still the same. The products, there's some new products, obviously, over that period of time. There are manufacturers that didn't even exist when we first started that have product out today. So it's been an interesting, with the technology advances and particularly the IT platforms that now virtually all security products are riding on, there's been some there have been some new relationships from a manufacturing and supplier standpoint, but you know, that's where our, if there's been a change, that's where it's come from.
And Wayne, on your end,
well,
changes?
Yeah, I think pretty much similar. I mean, we've been in business since 1975, and it's amazing how many companies we dealt with and started with back then we're still partnering with. I think the biggest change is that because of the marketplace and the new innovations, you know, we've been taking on new partnerships so that we're able to offer the solutions to our customers. Some of the older companies found their niche, or, you know, have a certain product that they go after or market they go after, and you know, so we're always looking for the solutions and the best fits for our customers, and that's us to develop the new relationships.
Well, I think that probably covers us as far as partnerships. Now, let's switch gears real quick. Here it is, 2008, price of oil going through the roof. I think they're probably going to set a new record today, just like they did for the last 4 days, right? What's the let's take a snapshot of the economy and how it's affecting the integration business. Each one want to kind of just sound off on what you think, how you think the economy is doing and how it's affecting our business.
Alan was doing a pretty good job.
Alan, I heard you starting.
Hey,
come on, Alan.
I can tell you that I think the economy is going to be in some very difficult times. I think that you're going to see a decrease in expansion in commercial space going on. I'm not saying the government's going to cut back, because the government, whether it's a Democratic or Republican government, never cuts back, because it's not their money. It's other people's money. I think the competition is going to intensify more than it has been, and I think a lot of the small guys, unless they have good capital reserves or good recurring revenue streams, are going to go by the wayside over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
So I think.
Wayne, what do you think? Are you nervous about the commercial economy?
Well, I don't know if nervous is the right term. I mean, I think that you know, the increased costs are going to cause people to continue to deliberate over purchases that we're going to take longer. You know, definitely see, you know, profits maybe dropping a little bit. It's going to cause us to work harder, you know, work harder to make the same money. I mean, I've been through this a couple different times over, you know, since 1975. So, but, you know, anytime you have this kind of turn in the economy, it certainly impacts business. Security, I think, is probably the least of all that will be impacted, unfortunately, because, you know, in these times, you know, crime increases. And, you know, we've seen that recently just in this area where, you know, people are losing jobs, but at the same time, people are purchasing security systems because, you know, banks are getting robbed and people are stealing cars and all kinds of stuff. So, you know, we will get impacted by it, but I think that to a certain degree, the security market is going to be somewhat recession-proof in that regard.
Jeff, you've got to be following this pretty closely. I mean, especially since, you know, the company not only does integration systems, but is also, you know, investing in product manufacturing.
Right.
What's your sense?
Well, I think that we're probably in for some rough times. I would agree with that. I think that from an integration standpoint, integrators are going to certainly feel it in terms of the cost of delivering the goods and services. Relative to the fuel and travel costs that they're going to incur, that's going to impact the entire economy before it's over with. I think you've already seen that. It's going to contribute. It's not the only contributing factor, but it certainly is. It's certainly a major contributing factor, and I don't see a solution for that. So, you know, we're probably in for some tight times. I don't know how deep of a recession, if we have one. Officially, I guess we're not supposed to be in a recession yet, but I think there's opportunity. I mean, anytime historically, if you look at these types of cycles, there's a cleansing that happens, and there's as much good as there is bad. If you look, if you're the kind of person who looks at the glass and says it's half full rather than half empty, there are going to be some opportunities for, particularly for our business, because of the management tools, the business management tools now that are predominant in all of the security products, having made the transition to the IT platform. And so there's enormous ROI if you can figure out how to leverage it, if you're really good at selling that from the get-go, and you're able to fulfill on the back end from an installation and support to make sure that the technology the customer has bought is fully leveraged for their benefit in terms of ROI, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunity. There's a lot of outdated old stuff out there. When the times get difficult and people tie in the belt, smart business people are looking for ways to become more efficient, to do more with less. And a lot of our products do that. So I'm kind of optimistic. I really look for this to be an opportunity for guys who are smart enough to realize it and take advantage of it.
Well, I like the optimism. So,
I think it's a shakeout period. I think you're going to see a shakeout.
Sure.
I remember the 90s, early 90s, and you're going to see guys that are not well capitalized, guys that have never sold service contracts in their lives, that live from contract to contract, and I think that you are going to see a lot of small companies that have not that don't run good businesses go by the wayside, and those companies that are very well managed and have good cash reserves and have, you know, done the right thing, they'll prosper. In the short term, I agree that I think profits will dip, but I think in the long term, I remember what happened in the late 80s, early 90s, profits dipped, and then after the competition was eliminated, margins increased substantially. So that's what I think will happen.
Well, let's hope it, and that is the case, is that it shakes out some of the companies that maybe really aren't committed fully to being in the industry, and keeps around the good folks and keeps everyone profitable once the little R recession, I guess, passes by. So, well, guys, thanks a lot for coming on the podcast program. I really want to thank you all for coming on there, and of course,
thanks everybody.
You're welcome.
Of course, being on the in the issue of Security Dealer and Integrator as well. So another SIW podcast is in the can, so to speak.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
That wraps up episode 29 of SIW Radio, the podcast series from securityinfowatch.com. If you'd like to get in touch with us, email us at podcast@securityinfowatch.com. You can download our programs from iTunes. Type in SIW Radio, SIW Space Radio, into the search bar. You'll be able to get us. You can also review us there. Add a note. Tell us what you think. Of course, on our main site, securityinfowatch.com/podcast or SIWradio.com, you can add comments to any of our podcast programs. Tell us what you think. We'd love to hear back from you. And if you've got an idea for an upcoming program, shoot us a note, podcast@securityinfowatch.com. Thanks for tuning in.